Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill. And at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market reported as the fifth day of January 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll check the ag news for the afternoon and take a look at the agricultural energy sector. Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here are the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. The closes in the corn pit about a penny and a half higher with nearby March at 353, May at 358 and a half, up one, and July up a penny at 364 and three quarters. December corn at 377 and three quarters of a cent higher. Soy complex up three and a quarter at the end of the day. January at 867 and three quarters. The March at 857 and a quarter, up a penny and a quarter, and the May up one at 861 and three quarters. July at 869 and a quarter, penny and a half higher in November of next year, up two and a quarter at $8.75. Bean meal up $2.10 at $2.6530 on a settlement price. Bean oil at $29.63, a settlement price there, down 30 cents. Soft red winter wheat at $4.61 and a quarter, up three as it closed. May futures at $4.66 and three quarters, up two and a quarter in July, up 2 cents. That's at $4.74 and a quarter July of next year. For the hard red at $4.79, a finished 4 cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $167.92.5. These are actually the feeders trading up 30 cents at this hour in the January. February live cattle at $136.75. They're 32.5 cents higher. And lean hogs for the day are $1.52.5 higher at $60.95. That's for the February contract. The April contract for 100 pounds at $66.07.5, up 62.5 cents. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and, of course, everything in between. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
A quick look now at the outside markets. Energies, crude oil, February contract at $36.07 a barrel, up 69 cents, rather down 69 cents at this hour. Ethanol futures, a penny lower at $1.35.5. Gasoline at $1.26 or thereabouts, around 3 cents lower for the day. Heating oil off, or rather up 4 6/10 cents. That's diesel fuel at $1.13.10. That's in the February contract. And natural gas at $2.32 3/10, down a penny and a tenth of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,079, down about 6 points. The U.S. dollar up 0.557 at 99.525. And gold futures for the day at $1,078.25, up $3. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 37. South winds today, those will stay with us for a while. They'll gust all the way to 21 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 24. South-southeast winds this evening at 6 to 8. And Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a high of 39. Those south winds remain with us at 6 to 13. They'll gust to 17 on Wednesday and Wednesday night. Mostly cloudy, a low of 30 degrees. South-southeast winds at 7 to 9. And eventually they bring rain to us with them. A 30% chance on Thursday evening, in fact. Cloudy and a high of 41 degrees. Again, a south-southeast wind at 6 to 10. Thursday night, rain likely. Cloudy and a low of 37. Chance of precipitation Thursday night set at 70%. 60% rainfall chance on Friday.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th day of January. We're joined by Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
When we talked this morning, our discussion centered, as we closed out, on basis and it having to drive much of the marketplace, at least for farmers to be able to move grains and oil seeds, because the price of both are on the bottom end of the level. However, the numbers you gave, farmers generally looking for $4 corn, and you were thinking, I think, about $3.80 might move some. And soybeans has been $9, well off of that mark at this point, no matter what we're looking at. Do you think many producers will get that opportunity prior to the time we get to the USDA's crop production and WASDE reports the week from today?
I don't know, Todd, but I think it's going to be harder to get to than what you might think. And that's because I think a lot of the end users are sitting back waiting for a possibly negative report in the respect that I think they feel that we're probably going to cut our export expectations back a little bit because we have slowed that. And Argentina, of course, has come in with their taking their tariffs off their exports along the way that way. And there are some people that still feel there's going to be some improvement in the yields, which it's going to be awfully hard to do. But it does look like the $3.90 to $4 in the corn and the $9 in the beans are probably going to be sort of hard to reach. We do know that the basis levels did go up in Decatur this morning, Lafayette, Indiana. They both increased by about a nickel. We have seen that trains aren't really moving out of Iowa or Nebraska and out west that way. Because it seems like the elevators have moved most of their free corn, and they're just a little bit leery because they do think the basis levels will have to increase to get some farmer movement, and they don't want to sell it corn that's on DP that they haven't priced for their farmers yet.
You mentioned that the industry was waiting and wondering and watching to see if the export numbers from the United States might drop. I take it that's part and parcel of the decisions made in Argentina by their new president to open the marketplace. And it certainly appears to have moved quite a little bit of grain. How quickly has that come into the market, and what difference does it really make?
Well, the difference is that basically their farmers sat on and hoarded their grain, just like we're talking about the corn that's in the West right now as to coming here. They didn't sell it until it was time for them to actually buy seeds or buy fertilizer because of their inflation rates and what was going on and because of their high tax rate that went along with it. So it has become, it's market available now. They haven't moved quite as much as everybody thought, but they are out there offering corn and beans cheaper than the U.S. Gulf prices are right now. That, of course, coming into effect more so for end of February, March, that way, in that time frame, they're going to start to be pretty big competition as far as world markets go.
Is there a reason that producers of livestock ought to take advantage of this time frame to lock in needs?
Well, you know, we've had a nice little bounce back here running on up. Are we going to be short of meat down the road? We know we've got big pork supplies, in our cold storages. We're looking at things that way. The beef, of course, we're seeing the cut-ups have made a nice little rebound here on the cattle on feed report where there was less placements. But this is a nice little bounce back here, and I think that maybe they need to take advantage of pricing some of the stuff or locking in some prices as we go down the road.
And finally, again, come back to that final crop production report, the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, that are due out at 11 o'clock next Tuesday morning. Other than the export numbers, do you expect anything to change?
You know, there's a few people that think that the production numbers could go up or down a little bit. I'm not going to vary too much on those. I think that the government's very capable of doing that. I think over the last 25 years of looking at this, we've had about half the days that have closed 10 to 15 cents higher the next day, and vice versa, about the same amount of days that it's closed down that time period. So, it's just about a 50-50 thing, but it is a volatile report that probably will cause a reaction.
Hey, thank you so much for taking so much time with us, and I'm looking forward to talking with you all of the 2016 year.
Very good. Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 5th day of January. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that on our website, where? At willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In today's agricultural news, the TPP countries are planning to sign a formal deal next month. The Japan Economics newspaper reports the 12 countries included in the Trans-Pacific Partnership are seeking to sign a formal agreement in February. Approval by countries such as the United States is needed for implementation of the deal. However, the 12 member nations must first formally sign the agreement. A signing ceremony is planned for next month in either New Zealand or the United States. Well, the Bloomberg Grain Subindex has reached a 9-year low thanks to concerns that a global glut of supply will expand while a slump in equities drag commodities lower. Bloomberg reports that its index fell 2.1% recently to 38.7. That's the lowest level since September of 2006. And pork producers are expected to experience another year of tight margins in 2016, similar to the year just completed. That, according to Purdue University Extension economist Chris Hurt, pork production is expected to rise by about 1%, but beef production will rise by 4% and poultry by about 3%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Now up next, a series of stories related to agriculture. We'll start really close to home with the Upper Mississippi River and its tributaries. They've been getting a lot of national attention amid devastating floods that could help focus new attention on the river's infrastructure needs as well. The near-record flooding could shed light on the Upper Mississippi River's aging infrastructure as levees are breached and the locks are threatened. Waterways Council Deborah Colbert says her group will renew its push this year to prioritize inland waterway projects on the Upper Mississippi.
We are going to continue to press for work to be done in terms of pre-construction engineering and design for that navigation ecosystem sustainability program, which is expanding and modernizing chambers on the Upper Mississippi River and the Illinois Waterway.
Locks modernization got a boost in the 2015 Water Resources Reform and Development Act, otherwise known as WRDA, which prioritizes inland waterways projects. However, work on the river's locks are not queued up just yet, according to Colbert, even as the funding is there.
For every dollar invested in navigation, an equal amount will be invested in ecosystem restoration and habitat protection. So we think that's a really terrific, forward-thinking, multi-purpose program that the Corps should be focusing on in the future. And it will also help to support those agriculture interests trying to get products upriver for spring plantings and then, of course, downriver for the great grain products and exports that we expect to see continuing to grow in the next couple of years.
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers received a 27% increase above the President's request this fiscal year and record funding for priority inland waterways trust fund-backed projects. There was also a 9-cent barge fee hike in a 2014 tax bill. That, plus renewed focus on aging infrastructure under stress from record flooding, could provide finally the boost needed for projects in the Upper Mississippi River Basin. Let's return now to the lead story in our Ag News segment, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That trade pact is awaiting approval by the legislative bodies of each of 12 countries that are party to the agreement. Those countries have 24 months to approve TPP before it goes into effect, but a little-known provision in the deal stipulates that the TPP can go into effect when countries accounting for 85% of the economy covered by the pact approve it. Phil Karsten is an administrator for USDA's Foreign Ag Service. He says the TPP can be pretty much assured if lawmakers in the two biggest economies, the United States and Japan, approve it.
If everybody doesn't get it ratified within that 24 months, it would enter into force when 85% of the economies involved, 85% of the countries representing 85% of GDP in the participant economies ratify it. So the whole point is to get it launched with a strong group of participating countries. In reality, that means it would likely require Japan and the United States to be a party to it.
Japan says it will submit bills necessary for its ratification and implementation to its parliament during the session that begins in January. A very different story in the United States, however, where Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he does not expect to bring up the TPP until after the federal elections in November. Karsten, however, says that in the case of TPP, sooner is better than later.
We want to get this process, not let it linger. It deserves to be reviewed rather quickly, in our view.
The TPP would cover trade between 12 Pacific Rim nations and is expected to be a big benefit to agriculture. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and our calendar of events. By the way, if you'd like to have us come out with one of our regular ag panels, you can do that anytime you'd like by contacting me, tgleason@illinois.edu, or 217-333-9697. It's the winter meeting season, and we'd be glad to come out to your event. Again, 217-333-9697, or call the radio station at 217-333-7300 and ask for me, Todd Gleason, or tgleason@illinois.edu for my email address. Up next, I want you to think back to the month of August when Pro Farmer was out on its crop tour. One of the persons we checked in with each and every day traveling on the eastern leg of that tour was Katie Misick. She's with DTN Progressive Farmer, and she is head of their confidence index. And she files this story. She says concerns over their current financial situation and expectations for the future have pushed crop and livestock producers' confidence to an all-time low in the history of the DTN Progressive Farmer Agriculture Confidence Index.
We conduct the survey three times a year, before planting, before harvest, and then once again at the end of the year, to try and gauge farmers' attitudes toward the agriculture economy at those key times of the growing season. And what we've seen in the latest reading, it's our most pessimistic yet. Our index value is based where 100 is neutral, and anything that is above 100 is considered optimistic. Anything below 100 is considered pessimistic. The latest reading of the Agriculture Confidence Index came at 92.7. It's the lowest number we've had since DTN began conducting the survey in April of 2010.
Falling crop prices and uncertainty over input costs have farmers concerned about their incomes. In fact, Katie Misick says there were some firsts in this particular survey.
For the first time, a majority, about 53% of survey respondents, classified their current input prices as bad. That number has been on the rise since March of 2014, but it's the first time it really crossed into the majority of the 500 people who respond to our survey. That's a big deal. And then also for the first time, more farmers consider their current incomes to be bad than normal. This is a shift that's really fairly new in our survey. For most of the length of this survey, most farmers have said it's been normal to good, and now 44% of farmers are saying current incomes are bad. So we're seeing a real sort of shift to the downward side. And then when we look ahead for where farmers think input prices and incomes will be a year from now, more than 50% of respondents say they think it'll stay the same. So there's really not much hope out there of improving on farm economics.
Crop producers' attitudes remain pessimistic on their current situation and future expectations. The index rating on their current situation fell from 92 in August to an all-time index low of 86.5. For just the second time in the index history, both crop and livestock producers have a pessimistic confidence score, with crop producers at 91 and livestock producers at 96.4. Recent volatility, says Mysik, in the cattle and hog markets has producers concerned.
Even compared to the August survey that we did pre-harvest, their rating dropped from 102.5 to 96.4, and most of that decline really came from the present situation and their current incomes. For anyone who really paid attention to the cattle market, September and October were rough months with some wild volatility. The break-evens for most cattlemen are pretty dismal at this time, so they're seeing some challenges come to the livestock sector. As well.
Livestock producers today are feeling a little bit better than they were back in August, the last time the DTN Progressive Farmer Index was taken. Well, it's the first Tuesday of January. Time to check in on the Agricultural Energies. Harry Cooney is here from GrowMark in Bloomington, where he manages energy risks. Thanks, Harry. I hope you had a good holiday season.
We sure did, Todd. Welcome to 2016, and we're off and running.
Off and running and with some problems in the Mideast. My Lord, this is causing havoc in many sectors.
Well, it is. And what is very fascinating about this Middle East situation, and by the Middle East situation, I think most realize that we're talking about this conflict that's developed in the past week or so between Saudi Arabia and Iran, both countries very, I don't know if I want to say superpowers, but very important in the Middle East area, of course, where the oil is. And what would have happened 5-10 years ago or so, yesterday when we came back from the holiday, crude oil probably would have been $5 or $6 higher. But in fact, really, crude oil was only up about $1 on the open yesterday, and then in fact tended to soften into the close yesterday, and today is actually trading lower also. So it's a real interesting response to what would have been a very volatile situation several years ago, much more muted now, because look at all the oil that we have around the U.S. and around the world here. So it's a very interesting change from what it would have been years ago.
Speaking of all the oil around the world and the planet, it has depressed prices. However, oil tends to work on seasonals. Where do we stand?
Well, that's exactly right. The seasonal tends to, this is the seasonal pattern that normally occurs. You come out of the Christmas, New Year's holiday, you tend to rally into about the first week in January in energy prices. Then they tend to set back, and they tend to set back into about mid to late January to about where they were on their lows in December. Then that's the do or die level. So we still have another couple of weeks here to see if it can set back. If you want to get stuff bought, if you want to fill your diesel inventory, if you have some contracting you want to do, look to do that. Get it done by the end of January. Most years that'll work for you.
And then finally, as a note to me, you suggested we probably ought to talk about the overall negativity and the energy. So you're saying people maybe want to book things at this point and other markets as well.
Well, that's right. The negativity that has come into many markets, you have the energy markets. Of course, the stock market yesterday got hit. It's a lot quieter today. The grain markets have been hit. They're bouncing a little bit today. It has really cast a negative shadow as we start 2016. So it'll be interesting now to see if the markets are overdoing it on the downside. Maybe there will be some recoveries as we go out into midwinter and late winter and out into spring this year. We'll just have to watch. That's something I'm keeping an eye on.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. When I come back, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Whipped Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1786, Thomas Nuttall was born. An English naturalist and botanist, He collected and studied plants in the U.S., especially around the Chesapeake Bay area. In 1794, Edmund Ruffin was born. He is often called the father of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin showed how to restore fertility to depleted soil, and he discovered effective methods of fertilizing, plowing, and rotating crops to increase grain production. In 1889, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word hamburger first appeared in print in a Walla Walla, Washington newspaper. In 1914, Aaron Bunny Lapin was born, an American inventor. He is the creator of whipped cream in an aerosol can. He did that in 1947. It was first sold by milkmen in St. Louis in 1948. And in 1943, George Washington Carver died, an American agricultural scientist and inventor. He developed hundreds of uses for peanuts, soybeans, and sweet potatoes. Carver demonstrated to farmers how fertility could be restored to their land by diversification, especially by planting peanuts and sweet potatoes to replenish soil impoverished by the regular growth of cotton and tobacco. And he founded the George Washington Carver Research Foundation at Tuskegee, Alabama, for agricultural research. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the agricultural weather forecast. We're joined by Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can you tell me about the weather forecast in Mato Grosso in particular? I saw that about 43% of their soybean crop was said to be in poor to very poor condition. Does that make sense to you?
It certainly does, considering that the long-term precip pattern has featured below normal totals, and that's true not only over the past 30 days, but really dating back 60 to even 90 days. We did have a delayed start to the rainy season, but overall we did see November come in a little bit closer to normal, then they trended drier again in December. Now as we move into January, we do see better rainfall prospects. In fact, that transition has already occurred over the past week as we've begun to see more widespread thunderstorm activity across areas of Brazil. So with some of the poor ratings that are currently in place, we feel that there will be improvement here upcoming, especially as we begin to go through more of the yield-sensitive stages here coming up as we go through the month of January. Overall, January is shaping up to feature near normal rainfall totals across not only Mato Grosso, but across all of northern Brazil. So overall, a big change upcoming here versus the pattern of late.
Will it be enough, do you suppose?
We think it will be, especially as we go through some of the yield-sensitive time frames here. Soybean pod development, and in the south you're going through some of the corn pollination here as well. So you're getting out of extreme heat. Again, January and February are climatologically the wettest time frames. That's when your normals peak. And with normal rainfall totals here, you're talking generally most areas this month coming in anywhere from 12 to as much as 16 inches of rainfall. So it's not going to make up the precip deficits per se the longer term, but from an actual standpoint, that's certainly enough to increase soil moisture reserves, help to stabilize and even improve yield potential here with the amount of rain here upcoming.
Now come back to the United States. What's the forecast for our part of the world for the next week?
Well, certainly you're getting out of the record warmth that we saw back in December, and overall the next 2 weeks look to feature quite a bit of a roller coaster ride in temperatures, Todd, here across not only Illinois but across much of the central and eastern U.S. We are going to have, really starting tomorrow, a stretch of about 4 days of warmer than normal temperatures after our kind of seasonal levels here over the past several days, but then that will be followed up by a significant cold shot during the early part of next week. We don't see that as any kind of winter kill threat, but it will result in below normal temperatures for about 4 days before then temperatures moderate again. So quite a bit of temperature contrast here coming up. Some precip, but at least over the next 7 days, it's certainly not as active or wet as what we saw the prior couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.